Welcome to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for listening this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. My co-host Tom Hudson is off this week. The crisis continues in Florida as the Delta variant of coronavirus rages throughout the state. Florida reported just shy of 25,000 new COVID cases Wednesday, according to the latest data available from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's the highest one-day number since the start of the pandemic. What does it mean? An average of 1,800 Florida residents every day is going into the hospital with this virus, and at least 35 children per day. Florida's weekly coronavirus metrics report is expected out this Friday, and it is expected to show an eighth consecutive week with an upward trend in new cases. Hospitals continue to fill up with mostly unvaccinated patients. Now, we'll go to your calls and tweets in a few minutes. Join us here on the Florida Roundup. The number, 305-995-1800. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. Your comments in a moment, but first, parents across the state have filed a lawsuit that will be heard later today before a Leon County circuit judge. They're challenging an executive order by Governor Ron DeSantis that seeks to prevent school districts from requiring students to wear masks. The complaint says the governor's ban is unconstitutional, and it also argues that the governor's order violates home rule for local school boards. St. Petersburg attorney Charles Gallagher is representing the parents, and he told me more. Charles Gallagher, good to speak with you. Thanks for being with us here on the Florida Roundup.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what we can expect out of this hearing later today.
So I think it's going to be a little bit more of a introduction and some background, probably logistics and scheduling. It was first set as an evidentiary hearing on the injunction request. Later this morning, the court had forwarded around correspondence that it's going to be more attuned to a background logistics scheduling type motion type matter, as opposed to anything where there's going to be a final determination on the merits. My guess is that we will have probably at least one or two more hearings on the merits before there is a decision on that injunction request.
Okay. But this lawsuit that is on behalf of parents from all over Florida is alleging that the governor's executive order violates a statute in the Florida Constitution that requires a uniform, efficient, safe, and high-quality system of public schools. What's the argument you will make before the judge that the governor saying no mask mandates can be allowed threatens the safety of schools?
Absolutely. So in this current climate we are in right now, where we have almost a 20% pediatric positivity rate, which means, you know, one out of every five kids tested is positive for COVID. We have near 100% capacity in hospitals. And the biggest change of all is that this Delta is different. So last year we were the beneficiary of the COVID Alpha not really affecting kids as much as adults. However, we are not there with Delta. Delta is attacking kids with abandon. And so having kids return to school where there is no mandatory masking requirement, which is, you know, contrary to American Academy of Pediatrics as well as the CDC, being in those spaces where they're, you know, kind of commingled, so to speak, with, you know, masked and non-masked individuals, that's immediate risk and peril. They're walking into a place where they are in trouble and danger from day one. So that is an unsafe schools condition that is precluded by the Constitution of Florida, and those students are entitled to and guaranteed the right of safe public school education. So the primary issue is that we have such surging numbers and such and a distinction with Delta, of course, the 1,000 times viral load and the R naught being so high, so there's a duplication over and over of how many people are going to be affected. A different ballgame than last year. You can't rely upon the data from the last school year that showed less of a childhood affliction. This is more, you know, brutally. So that's the issue with safe schools. And then we have other arguments as well on home rule and the ability of a school board to have its own say.
Let me ask about that. There is a provision in the state constitution that gives this authority to local school boards. The governor has argued that it's within his authority to make a blanket order for the entire state. So what will be your argument before the judge on this matter?
Well, this issue came before the court last year on the teacher union lawsuit. And even on that very issue where the governor was ultimately successful at the appellate court level, that appellate court said very, very clearly and succinctly in that order, in that opinion, that it is the role and place and providence of our local school board to govern the local schools. It is not the place for any executive, governor, or other politician to go ahead and impart upon them any kind of oversight or governance. This is an entitlement under the Florida Constitution. It's very clear. It spells out that they have the right to go ahead and govern themselves. The pretext for this, I think, by the governor is some kind of emergency entitlement, but I don't think a court's going to find any kind of sympathy to that argument.
What's your response to parents who feel that it should be their decision whether to mask their kids up? In some school districts that have already begun with mandates, they have given parents the option to sign a form opting their child out. In Jacksonville, in Orlando, we are seeing, for example, a tiny percentage of parents doing that, 3%, 4%, 5%, that are opting their children out. But what's your answer to those parents?
Because we're in the midst of a public health crisis, there is no place for the argument that it's a personal choice or parent choice issue. That would be akin to saying, my kids like to play in the car when I'm driving, therefore I'm not going to put them in a car seat. Or, these seatbelts are very uncomfortable, I'm not going to burden my child with a seat belt while I'm driving in the car. Just ludicrous ideas like that. The topic here is about public health and public safety for the greater good, not just for the person wearing the mask. That person wearing the mask is wearing it to protect others from spread as well. So there are times where you have to have uniform requirements of government and within a civilization to enforce that greater good mentality. Here we have a public health crisis. This is not some arbitrary random rationale for masking in the schools. This is to go ahead and prohibit the spread of this most deadly disease that's taken over 600,000 Americans.
What about the governor and his education commissioner, Richard Corcoran, threatening to withhold the paychecks of school leaders who enforce a mask mandate? Will that come up in your argument before this judge?
Our attacks are more directed towards the parent-type perspective. If that order is vacated and stricken, so too would that condition of it be. I just don't see any court in the state of Florida finding sympathy with the idea that you can hold things hostage with financing and you can impart these rules upon school districts, and if there's a violation, say you're not getting paid. There does not seem to be any precedent for that in Florida law. I don't think that a court's going to go ahead and find any sympathy with that.
We should make clear, no more parents can join your lawsuit, although I'm sure you are getting requests, correct?
Yes. Our goal is to go ahead and try to get some resolution as quick as possible, so we want to go ahead and continue with the plans we have. And, there might be a scenario in the future where we were to amend, but I just don't foresee it right now.
And let's explain quickly before we say goodbye. If the judge grants injunctive relief, even on a temporary basis, what does that mean as a practical matter in Florida public schools?
That would mean that individual school districts would be allowed to then impose mandatory mask mandates, period, and without fear of any kind of penalty funding issues as well. So if that executive order is vacated, stayed, or enjoined on a temporary or permanent basis during the pendency of that time frame, that means that we're is as if it does not exist.
Attorney Charles Gallagher of the Gallagher Firm in St. Petersburg. We'll follow this. Thanks for appearing with us here on the Florida Roundup.
Certainly. All the best. Thank you.
Lots of calls. 305-995-1800. Join us, Florida. Ronald is on the line in Hollywood. Hi, Ronald. Go ahead. Ronald, are you there? Okay, we'll have to get back to you. Oh, go there. You go, Ronald. Go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you. So I am a Miami-Dade County Public Schools classroom teacher. I teach in a high school. So today, for the first time, I was able to see my rosters for my classes. And I have a six-period day. I have five classes scheduled, and each one has at least 30 students in the class. I'm terrified, to be honest. I don't know how we are going to maintain social distance. I don't know what protocols are in place in my district. I don't know whether people are going to have to wear masks or not. And I'm supposed to go back to work on Monday. Officially Wednesday. I just feel powerless. I feel that there is this haphazard approach to how we're dealing with this, whether it be on a state level or a nationwide level. And I'm terrified.
I'm so sorry, Ronald. And certainly we've been hearing that from so many teachers. And I want to thank you for your service in the classroom. And I know you'll be wearing a mask. And thank you for the call. What I can tell you is that we will continue to follow this story and get the information out to the public. Thanks for your call. Let's go now to Andrew Atterbury, education policy reporter with Politico. Andrew, good to have you on the Florida Roundup.
Hey, thanks for having me. No place I'd rather be.
So we hear from that teacher, he's afraid to go back into the classroom. We are waiting to see what happens in court, if there is injunctive relief granted on behalf of parents, and also, as we heard from him, teachers who would like to see universal mask mandates in Florida schools. Do you think if the judge rules in favor of the parents, more districts might implement such orders?
It could totally be possible. I think the big issue here might be timing. I remember last year about the same time, and y'all talked about this a little bit earlier, there was a lawsuit about whether schools should reopen in person and who should make that decision. And just the way that it played out in court, it took so long that basically it didn't really matter for districts and they reopened anyway. And I could totally see that same thing happening here, because what you've seen across the state already is that most school districts, only two out of 67 are trying to oppose this ban on mandating masks locally. And one county, Leon County, the capital county, they decided that they were going to backtrack on their masking rule because of the threats from the Florida Department of Education. So they're one that could go back perhaps if the court does rule in their favor. But as of right now, everybody, for the most part, is chugging along and following the governor's orders.
To that end, you mentioned Broward County Schools and Alachua County Schools. They are standing firm against this, saying that they will be doing universal mask mandates. Reporting this afternoon that the Florida Board of Education has apparently called an emergency meeting to discuss the compliance of Broward and Alachua schools. Now, the governor had threatened to withhold the paychecks of school officials who defied him on this. He backtracked from that. But what might we expect out of this emergency meeting with the state board of ed?
Sure. So it's really, like you said, they talked about how they were talking about maybe withholding some funds from schools. And what the DeSantis administration made clear was that they could withhold an amount equal to the pay of the school board members and maybe the superintendent, which could be a couple $100,000. But then because of the way that the state laws are set up, it would be on the school board members locally to cut their own pay. So it would really be putting a lot of heat on the school board members if they do enact these sanctions, because then the school board members would have to decide, okay, are we going to cut our own pay here, or are we going to take this out of the school district's budget? So that seems to be kind of where they're at now. And yes, like you said, they just announced today this emergency meeting on Tuesday, one day before the Board of Education was already about to meet. So they're clearly trying to get ahead of this early. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it comes down to both those two counties, Alachua and Broward. And what the DOE is saying, that by failing to follow the DeSantis guidelines, that these counties are endangering the safety and educational opportunities for students in their district. And it could lead to learning loss for some of these students.
Let's go to Dave in Port Richey, Florida. Hey, Dave. Thanks for calling the Florida Roundup.
Hello. One little quick note, Melissa. I was up in Jacksonville when you came in right behind Ray Hickman a long time ago. It's good to hear your voice again.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
Yeah, that being said, I had asked the fellow that answered the phone, and I found out subsequently that, yeah, DeSantis has three children. I'd just like to know, what school do they attend, and what are the mask and vaccination requirements at that school?
Thanks, Dave. Andrew Atterbury, there has been some chatter on social media about that. I don't know the answers. And there has certainly been pushback to people who have asked those questions, saying that the governor's children should be protected, that the location of their school shouldn't be known. The other side of that argument is that the governor has prominently featured his children in his political campaigning and television ads. What about Dave's question?
Oh, yeah, sure. I totally understand a lot of people are asking that. But just like you said, that's not really anything that I put a lot of attention into. With there's so many other issues right now, that's one that's kind of been under my radar.
And so with school starting up again in so many districts this week, we're already hearing that kids and staff have contracted COVID and are already going into quarantine. In Broward County, some students were reported to have passed away this week. This is a matter of great concern for parents and teachers, just the general safety in the classroom.
Sure. And to what you said, there have been quite a few COVID cases and quarantines. I think Palm Beach County, for example, they've got at least 130 COVID cases just this week. And I read that they're quarantining more than 400 students this week. And of course, that's one of the biggest counties in Florida. So that kind of stuff, some people might expect that. Other counties, it's a little smaller. Like Duval, for instance, they've reported 35 coronavirus cases this week. That's over in Jacksonville in your area. So it's a little different there, but you definitely see some of these counties are starting to see this increase similar to last year. And I think that's why there's so much importance on keeping track of how these schools are doing. And for the most part, it seems like a lot of these school districts have set up their own local databases to track these cases, which I don't know if you remember, but that was a huge fight last year, which was who's allowed to report these, whether it's the Department of Health or whether it's local school districts. But it does seem like, for the most part, a lot of these school districts are keeping up with their own reporting, which allows us to keep better track of it as well.
We should note there's a separate lawsuit being filed in federal court on behalf of parents with children with disabilities that is still taking plaintiffs, Andrew, arguing that the governor's stance on masks is preventing these children from being safe in school.
Sure. And it seems like that case might be moving a little slower than the state case. I haven't seen a whole lot of action on that end, but there is a hearing today for this for the circuit court case in Florida. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a whole lot of movement on that either. This is more of like a status hearing I've seen. But that one is the state lawsuit definitely seems to be moving a little faster.
We'll follow both of them. In the meantime, it's the Florida Roundup as we talk about the ongoing crisis in Florida. We are the epicenter for the Delta variant of coronavirus and how that's impacting schools. Lots of tweets and calls. Here's one from a listener. I was against the vaccine, but I'm living in Central Florida. The virus is close to home. I'm getting the Pfizer second shot tomorrow, she says. Keep your calls coming. 305-995-1800. Tweet us at Florida Roundup. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Tom Hudson is out this week. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis is standing firm in his opposition to school districts that are requiring students to wear masks to try to stop the spread of COVID-19. On Wednesday, the governor said the choice to have children wear face coverings should be left to their parents.
But obviously, we believe that the parent, rather than the government, should ultimately be able to make that decision. If you're talking about the federal government coming in and overruling parents in our communities, you know, that would be something that we would fight back vociferously against.
DeSantis has even threatened to withhold the paychecks of school officials that require students to wear masks. He did back off that claim somewhat Thursday, but still said the state could reduce funding for districts. It's 305-995-1800 here on the show, and tweet us at Florida Roundup as we continue the conversation now with Andrew Atterbury, education reporter with Politico, and also joining us Julio Ochoa, editor at Health News Florida. Guys, great to have you. Julio, let's go to you now. You know, last year at this time, Florida had fewer cases and hospitalizations than we do now, and we had more protocols in place to help mitigate the spread of the virus. Can you explain why doctors feel it's so important to reinstate some of these protocols, given what we know about the Delta variant?
Well, thanks, Melissa. The Delta variant is far more contagious than the previous variant. So social distancing and mask wearing is more important than it's ever been. We are seeing a lot of pandemic fatigue from officials. For example, I was reporting on the Pinellas County Commission this week, where officials were giving a breakdown of the dire state of hospitals in the EMS system. They told commissioners that ambulances were having to wait over an hour in many cases to offload patients at hospitals because they don't have the staff or the space to treat them. So not only are patients having to wait, but ambulances are also not able to respond to other calls. But at the end of this discussion, the county administrator told commissioners that he wasn't there to ask for mask mandates or lockdowns. He said that, you know, this is a health crisis that has a solution. The way to solve it is for more people to get vaccinated. So, you know, in other words, mask mandates and social distancing would become far less necessary if everyone eligible to get vaccinated would get vaccinated. But people are still, you know, it doesn't seem that people are listening because our hospitals are filling up. So it's not a good situation out there.
Yeah. In Jacksonville, Baptist Health now has a refrigerated trailer outside, in effect, a mobile morgue. And we have heard other health systems are looking at doing the same around the state. So, Julio, vaccination rates in Florida have started to tick up with this variant, but not enough, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, during that same meeting, the commission was told that in June vaccination, they were vaccinating about 4,500 people a week in Pinellas County. That number is well over 10,000 a week now. So people are scared of the variant. And I think a lot more people are saying, now's the time, I need to get vaccinated. But clearly, not enough people were vaccinated as the Delta variant started to come into Florida, and we're seeing the impacts of that in our hospitals right now.
Andrew Atterbury with Politico. You know, the governor is making the rounds promoting Regeneron, a drug to treat people who are already positive with the virus to try to keep them out of the hospital. And that medication does provide a short-term boost to patients. Not as effective as vaccination, though. The governor did a big push to vaccinate seniors at the beginning of the pandemic. He has been criticized for not aggressively urging more vaccination in Florida now. What's the governor's office response there? We'll have to get him to unmute. Julio Ochoa, let's throw that question to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the governor has had several press conferences around the state. He's talked to hospitals, hospital officials. You know, he's trying to let people know that, you know, if you have a heart attack, you should still go into the hospital. But he is pushing vaccinations, not as strongly as some would hope he is. But he is saying that, you know, to prevent yourself from getting a virus, you need to go out and you need to get vaccinated. He's, you know, as you know, against masks and other social distancing measures, doesn't want to close anything down. So he's basically banking everything on getting vaccinated in this monoclonal antibody treatment that you mentioned, you know, is only good if people come in before they're very sick and get it right when they get the virus. They need to come in and get that. That's the only way that it'll keep them out of a hospital. They already go to a hospital and they get that. The treatment is not as effective then.
Not as effective. Lots of tweets coming into the Florida Roundup. Here's one from Sharon. I'm infuriated about the inability of anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers to connect the dots between their inaction to the burden on healthcare systems. They are directly responsible for the overcapacity in hospitals. Why are they only going to the hospital for help now, she says, expressing the frustration many feel about this state of affairs. 305-995-1800, Kevin in Venice, Florida. Hi, Kevin. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon. I work for our school district. We've been open for 4 days. I've been counting kids in classrooms who are masked, and I would say it's about 25 to 30%. And basically all I'm seeing is a super spreader. This week, we have 3,000 kids quarantining and 300 faculty. It's very scary.
This is which school district, Kevin?
Sarasota.
Sarasota. Okay, Kevin, thank you for that. And I'm sorry, I know you've got to be concerned. Andrew Atterbury with Politico. Hearing from some teachers around the state and how worried they are about this.
Yeah, and I think one of the big issues we're going to see coming up pretty soon, and especially with the Federal Teachers Union involved in this a little bit too, is would there be any mandates for teachers getting vaccinated? And you got to think in Florida, based on the way Governor DeSantis operates, that idea wouldn't probably fly here. But that seems to be one of the best defenses, I guess, schools have right now. And when it comes to masks on campus, that really seems to be like one of the toughest things for anybody to enforce because yes, of course they're required. And yes, of course, a lot of these school districts have the opt-out policy, but I mean, it really falls down to the individual teachers, right? Like, are they going to be able to be the mask police all day, every day, making sure no matter what, every kid has a mask on? I mean, they're already in charge of what, you know, 20, 30 kids, and they're already having to deal with all of that as well. I think one of the biggest things to note now, though, is we're talking about all these kids quarantining. The quarantine policies in Florida have changed dramatically, but even more so than that, most of these school districts don't offer like the same digital option for kids who are going home for a couple of days at a time. Remember last year, there was a lot of virtual instruction, a lot of Zoom classes for those kids who were learning from home. That doesn't really seem to be an option anymore for a lot of these schools because teachers just couldn't keep up with it for a whole nother year. The state mandated their policies a little bit to make it where the quarantine should be a little shorter, and that's supposed to help kids with their learning loss. But again, schools have only started this week, so how the long-term effects of that, how it's all going to play out, seems to be very much still in motion.
Chris in Orlando. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling the show. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is regarding the Governor DeSantis' comment about withholding school superintendent and board members' paychecks. If somebody works for you and you don't pay them, that makes them a slave. And the governor of Florida is saying that he's going to transform state employees into slaves. That is alarming on many levels.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, he has backed off from those statements. Thank you for the call. Julio Ochoa, Health News Florida, the governor did say he was going to actually withhold the salaries of school officials who defied him on this. Yesterday, he backtracked from that.
Yeah, from what I understand, the administration learned that they couldn't control the salaries or the pay of school administrators. So basically, they would have to withhold from the school's general fund. And to some school districts, that's just a drop in the bucket, a few hundred thousand dollars if they're, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or even billions in some cases. So it kind of took the teeth out of it. You can't really target the pay of people that you don't like and withhold the funding from them. So, you did see the administration backtrack a little bit on that.
Dan in Miami. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that we should take note of the dates in which Governor DeSantis has issued his decrees. If one day the voting population in Florida should see the wisdom of changing the government in this state, and voting in new people, you know, getting all the people from a certain party out and other people from another group of people from another party in. Some people should already start. I think some people should be willing to bring up the possibility of trying the governor. Hopefully by then he'll be an ex-governor for criminal negligence. He's obviously seeking the support of the Trumpian base, and so that he can get the RNC nomination for the presidency in 2024. And he's willing to do so, even if it costs people their lives. I mean, that's just the way I see it. There could be no other reason for him to issue the decrees that he has issued in this state, which is supposed to be a democracy.
Dan,
that's my comment.
Thanks for the call. And you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Okay, Andrew Atterbury, Julio Ochoa, you guys don't cover politics per se. And certainly there are plenty of people out there who disagree with that caller's comments. They're big fans of Governor DeSantis. That said, the way he is handling this pandemic, particularly now that children are back in school, has infuriated families across Florida who are deeply worried about the safety of their children. They don't agree with the governor that the chance of their child getting ill is negligible. They want to see everything possible done to protect their kids. We've heard from teachers on the line saying they're terrified to go back into the classroom. Andrew Atterbury, Politico, you know, the governor continues to double down as the rumblings and discontent around the state grow.
Sure. And if you watch a lot of these local school board meetings, there's some really tense moments because, like you said, people are really divided on this. You have this segment of the population who say, yes, of course, like, you know, you need to mask everybody in these schools, all of the students. This is a no-brainer, a lot of people say. But then there's other people who say, hey, I don't want my kid to wear a mask anymore. They totally support the governor's idea here. And like the Governor DeSantis has said, it should be all about parental choice. That resonates with a whole lot of folks. And there's a lot of anger that they're being told another school year that you need to mask your child again. So people are threatening to leave their school district. They're saying, hey, you know what? There was one person I heard this week who said, the only thing y'all listen to seems to be money. So I'm going to take my kid out of this school and get that Hope scholarship that the governor created or the governor changed last week, which would say, okay, this scholarship that's previously for students who are bullied, if you're being forced to wear a mask and you don't want to do that, you can take your kid to a private school, which is totally in line with the governor's message on school choice and parental choice. But the problem with that I've seen in some areas, private schools don't exactly have the space at this stage in the game to take on a lot of new students. So it really just seems like there's just a lot of grinding it out locally about this policy.
Here's a tweet from Tim. Bay District schools had to send a letter home asking parents not to send their kids to school sick. That's another reason masks should be required. Or is that parents' choice, too? He says. Junior on the line from Riverview, Florida. Hi, Junior. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you doing?
Okay.
Quick question. What is the governor strategy to fight the coronavirus? I've seen no social distancing, no mask requirement. What is it? Why is there no more pushback for the Democrats about establishing some type of restriction? Thank you.
Thank you. Before we get Julio to answer your question, let me get the Democratic point of view on the air. Florida Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried this week called on Governor Ron DeSantis to do more to fight the virus and to clear up confusion on state coronavirus case numbers. Here is Fried.
If the Department of Health and the governor was just doing their jobs and reporting these numbers in a timely, consistent fashion daily, we would have consistency. We would have transparency.
Hello.
There wouldn't be confusion on what numbers and what's being calculated into those numbers.
Doctors, too, are calling for the state to go back to daily case number reporting. Julio Ochoa, what about that caller's question? Wanting to know more about what the governor is doing to bring down case counts and hospitalizations in Florida. Now, we mentioned he's been touting Regeneron, but what else can the governor point to in recent weeks as a pandemic response?
I think you would point to vaccinations and his administration's attempts to deliver as many vaccinations to people who want it as they can. I think, you know, the issue, his big issue is freedom. And he says people are free to mask if they want to and free to not mask if they want to. People are free to get vaccinated if they want to. And if they're not, then there's not going to be a mandate. There's not going to be vaccine passports. So you're seeing a lot of people exercise their freedom and they're not getting vaccinated and now they are getting the virus. And I guess they're free to get that as well. So, I think he's getting a lot of support around the country from people who are fed up with what they see as government overreach to tell them to wear a mask. It seems like such a simple thing, like to protect yourself and others around you, just put on a mask. But people are really up in arms about that. And, he's getting a lot of support for his stand on that.
Thank you both so much for joining us. Andrew Atterbury, covering education policy for Politico. Julio Ochoa is editor at Health News Florida. Guys, thanks and be safe.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
In a moment, what doctors have to say about how Florida is dealing with the Delta variant. That's coming up in just a few minutes here on the Florida Roundup. 305-995-1800. Get on the line. We'll be right back in a moment. You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. My co-host Tom Hudson is off this week. Well, two school districts that faced pressure from Education Commissioner Richard Corcoran about their attempts to require students to mask up, these two districts have given vastly different responses to the state. Alachua County is moving forward with requiring students to have a doctor's note to avoid wearing a mask. Leon County backed away from a similar plan, and they are now complying with the state's demands. Superintendent Rocky Hanna said this week he just wants to provide safety for students.
I want to just do what's right. I'm not in it for the politics of it. I just want to protect our children and get them back in school.
305-995-1800 tweets to @FloridaRoundup as we welcome Dr. Mona Mongut, allergist and immunologist in St. Petersburg, and Dr. Bernard Ashby, cardiologist in Miami and Florida State lead for the Committee to Protect Healthcare. Good to have you both on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I concur. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so good to be with you. On Wednesday, the governor said children remain at low risk to COVID-19. Here's DeSantis on Wednesday.
There's actually was higher infection rates when you're just in the community versus when you're in the classroom, particularly for the younger kids. You know, these kindergartners and first graders, they're not people that are really transmitting this in significant levels.
Dr. Ashby, let's begin with you. You and many other physicians sent an open letter to the governor this week asking him to change his tune about mask mandates in schools. What's your reaction to the governor's remarks there?
Well, first of all, I have to give credit where credit is due. And Dr. Mongut is actually the person who led this effort. And I just followed her lead. And also, she has more experience in pediatrics, but I'll just answer.
That's very good of you. And I did not realize she was the point person on that. So that's our error. And I apologize. So then if I could, go ahead, Dr. Ashby, then Dr. Mongut. Yeah.
No. I will defer to Dr. Mongut, actually.
Okay. Dr. Mongut, what about this?
Yeah. When I hear that, I realize that the narrative and the story that Governor DeSantis is painting of this pandemic is one of mission accomplished, we're done, everything's fine. And that does not fit with the reality of what we're seeing on the ground. This week data is showing that Florida has the nation's highest number of children hospitalized for COVID-19 at more than 230 children. Pediatric hospitals across the state are admitting an average of 50 children for COVID. a day, and that's up from 6 children per day just on June 26th. So, you know, in a 6-week time period. So we are not in a good place, and the leadership coming from the governor's office is abysmal. And I think, you know, that's really what prompted us to write this letter and to show that physicians across the state from all practices and backgrounds are supportive of science informing the governor's decisions. And this is not where that's not what's happening right now.
Dr. Ashby, let's talk about kids and why they seem to be more susceptible to Delta than past strains. And why you're asking, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's a great question, first of all. And what we have to emphasize is that Delta was a game changer. The viral load that you produce with Delta in folks who are unvaccinated and folks who have breakthrough cases is extremely high. In fact, it's 1,000 times higher than the wild type coronavirus or SARS coronavirus 2, which is the original version of the virus out of Wuhan. And what that translates into is more transmissibility. And in addition to that, you have more likelihood of breakthrough cases in those with previous immunity. But people are getting sicker initially from this. Why? Because the amount of virus that you're initially exposed to is directly correlated to how sick you get. And so masks definitely decrease the amount of viral load that you are exposed to, even if you do get infected. But we all know that this is a fundamental mitigation tool that is actually backed up by real-world data now that we're a year and a half plus into the pandemic that shows that mask use on a widespread scale significantly curves the pandemic. So in addition to to these pediatric patients getting sick, we are also trying to prevent illness in the general population, particularly at home, where a lot of these pediatric students live. And a lot of them have vulnerable grandparents and parents with pre-existing conditions or advanced in age that will almost certainly be in contact with them and unfortunately suffer some of the consequences. So it's multi-level. It's not just the children, but it's also their teachers and staff and the folks at home. And given the very high levels that we have, there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't encourage everyone to wear masks because masks are fundamentally used to prevent you from transmitting it, okay? And that's important. So if you have a lot of individuals who are opting out and not wearing the mask, it kind of defeats the purpose unless you have an N95 mask on as an individual.
You're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Leah in Jacksonville. Hi, Leah. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I'm glad to see that I'm calling in when the doctors are on. I'm a nurse. I work in Jacksonville. And I work at home health. And my comment is this. I'm trying to understand the anti-vaccinators, anti-mask wearers, who have an agenda as to why they won't wear them and take the vaccine. Unfortunately, though, because they don't believe in the science and they think we're trying to police them or police their children at school. However, when they're ill or become ill, they then believe in our science and our medical practitioners. They come to our hospitals. We treat them based on medical science protocols and our healthcare protocols. And because I work in home health, we see them at the home, becomes more difficult because we don't have everything we may need access to in an emergency room or hospital setting. So their agenda or their platform for why they don't do what they don't do seems to be a little bit of oxymoron. And so I just want to make a comment on that from a healthcare worker's perspective.
Sure.
And just see if anyone can say a little bit more about why they aren't complying to what has been used to be effective.
Doctor, thank you so much, Leah. Dr. Mangat, certainly it's frustrating to see people who believe a lot of misinformation about the vaccine and masking get sick and come into the hospital and need medical care and then often say they wish they'd been vaccinated. Now, your group of doctors has urged the governor to do three things that you published in your open letter. You want him to repeal his executive order around masks in schools, resume reporting daily COVID data across the state, and do a lot more to promote vaccinations. Can you talk about those three things?
Absolutely, yeah. Starting with the first, obviously, if the governor isn't going to be able to lead in a way that we feel is going to help us to get out of this pandemic, then I wish that he would just step out of the way and allow local governments, school boards, and local leaders to do the right thing for their communities. The second recommendation is that that he release data that is in a timely manner and in a forthright fashion so that people can begin to trust the information that's coming out. I believe that if every parent and every person in Florida knew these numbers and knew how many children were actually in the hospital, how many people are dying of COVID, all of these numbers, they would not make the choices that they're making right now. But unfortunately, the release of the data and the sharing of that data has become extremely politicized by the governor. And then the third recommendation for vaccinations, that is one that is extremely frustrating for physicians. Within the physician community, I think the numbers are up to 98% of physicians are vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. And yet every single day in our practices, we are fighting disinformation. Conversations with patients are occurring on a daily, I mean, I personally have these conversations on a daily basis. They are exhausting, trying to push back against the disinformation, misinformation. And the governor isn't doing anything to improve that situation. I'm very happy that he's setting up pop-up clinics for remdesivir, but that's sort of, you know, that's already after the infection has occurred. There's so much more that he could be doing. Every press conference should be about vaccinations. He should be touting these pop-up centers for vaccinations around all around the state. Schools should have centers for this. I mean, the only way out of this pandemic is through vaccination. And currently we know that we have about 1.2 million children that are school age under the age of 12 that are not vaccinated because they're not eligible. And so those kids are counting on the rest of us to do the right thing. And so, if there's anything I could say to people who are vaccine hesitant, please talk to your doctor. Don't listen to the governor or you know, other leaders. Just listen to your doctor, have a conversation with your doctor, and remember that the science is there and that most physicians are vaccinated against the COVID virus.
Yeah, I think it's above 90%. So I want to thank you both so much for sharing your insights with the statewide audience here on the Florida Roundup. Thank you, Dr. Mona Mongut, allergist and immunologist in St. Petersburg. And thank you to Dr. Bernard Ashby, cardiologist in Miami and Florida state lead for the Committee to Protect Healthcare. These two physicians joined a group of other physicians from across Florida, as we've been discussing, calling on the governor to repeal his executive order on masks and schools, to get the state to go back to reporting daily COVID data, which it has stopped doing, and to do more to promote vaccinations. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thanks for
having me. Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Andrea Podormo and Heather Schatz are show producers. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations and our Technical Director is Peter Mertz, with engineering help from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Theme music by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Friday.